This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I got such an angry letter from a Liz Phair fan when you so kindly came and did backing vocals on
what?
One of my songs on Ask Me to Dance. And I got a letter from a person going, don't advertise Liz Phair unless she's going to actually be able to be heard in the mix. How dare you mix her down? How dare she be a backing vocalist? How dare you, Mini Driver, use Liz Phair as you have used her, you user?
Oh, no. Oh, God. And so you had to leave the country.
I moved to England.
Hello, I'm Minnie Driver. I've always loved Proust's questionnaire. It was originally a 19th century parlor game where players would ask each other 35 questions aimed at revealing the other player's true nature. In asking different people the same set of questions, you can make observations about which truths appear to be universal. And it made me wonder, what if these questions were just the jumping off point? What greater depths would be revealed if I asked these questions as conversation starters? So I adapted Proust's questionnaire and I wrote my own 7 questions that I personally think are pertinent to a person's story. They are, when and where were you happiest? What is the quality you like least about yourself? What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you? What question would you most like answered? What person, place, or experience has shaped you the most? What would be your last meal? And can you tell me something in your life that's grown out of a personal disaster? And I've gathered a group of really remarkable people, ones that I am honored and humbled to have had the chance to engage with. You may not hear their answers to all 7 of these questions. We've whittled it down to which questions felt closest to their experience or the most surprising or created the most fertile ground to connect. My guest today on Mini Questions is the recording artist, Liz Phair. Liz is a unicorn. By that, I don't mean that she's mythic, because she's one of the realest people I know, but she is rare. And she carved out space for herself where she roamed wild and free, and from what I can tell, still does. Liz was an iconic force right out of the gate. From initial recordings under the Girly Sounds banner, she was then signed and she released her first album, Exile in Guyville, in 1993. And girls just weren't singing and writing the songs I heard on that record. They were honest and factual, blunt and sexual. I just thought she was the coolest kind of feminist. And she still is. She and I share a similar sort of doomish wisdom where we think everything good comes out of some kind of dead end. Constantly reimagining artistry and continuing to explore life outside the box, I am thrilled that my good friend Liz agreed to come on the show today. So, Liz Phair, where and when were you happiest?
This is a dull answer, but it's when I'm on vacation with friends and family. I love the feeling of being suspended. I have a lot of trouble with rules in society, although I'm also someone that appreciates order. So it's a contradiction in me, but I really love taking everyone I love out of context and being away where you're outside of your norms, you're outside of your roles, and you're together somewhere. And I feel a sense of freedom there. And I don't think I ever feel more like myself than when I'm on vacation. You know what I mean? Like, you just strip off all of society and it just feels so good. So I think I'm happiest and freest when I'm outside of the roles that we're given, that were scripted.
That's pretty wild, given that you're like the bellwether rock and roller creating her own reality, literally a one-woman show, band. Like, how does that fit in? Like, what? Because it's so funny, the way that you made it sound is like, it's kind of corporate, the world that you're escaping from. You know, all these rules and regulations. What, like when you're on stage? Like, when you're is that to do with, like, turning your monitors down? What is it?
No,
what makes
it's all of it. If I'd come up now, maybe it would have been, but I feel like when I came up in the music business, every step was convincing someone that I could do or just taking the step. And then they're like, what are you doing? You took a step. What did you take a step for? I'm walking here. You know, and so like every step along the way felt like a bravery test.
Wow.
You know, like a fight for the right to be an artist. I know it sounds stupid, but that's how I feel.
No, it doesn't sound stupid at all. The people that cut the path through the field, who are up front with the machete so that everybody else can travel down that pathway. Like, I always feel like you are one of those women.
Thank you.
Who did that. So no wonder you're tired and you want a bloody holiday. And that's when,
right.
And that's when you feel right. Happiest.
It's like, bushwhacking's hard work,
man,
and sweaty.
I'm tired. You know? Let me sit the fuck down.
You're always on alert for the tigers. You know, you don't know what you're cutting into. And a lot of times I know that in my career, I've ruffled feathers. Look, my poor fans are, you know, haranguing you because I haven't been positioned right. They also harangue me, you know, if I haven't positioned myself correctly. So,
you know, can I just tell you, like, it's so crazy because, like, hearing you say that, like, it makes me want to punch something. The idea of, like, being positioned right, because for me, you are iconic. It's important for all these female artists. If you hadn't done that, they wouldn't exist. So, but it's interesting that you, the way that you feel that you weren't positioned right. I think you were positioned incredibly, like, in my heart and in so many millions of people's hearts you are. But I understand that of sort of hitting a wall and going, wow, they don't get where I want to take this next.
Well, you went into music. Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book, a beautiful book, a beautiful memoir.
Babe, I mean, like, you've got to keep making.
All of those things are things that no one gave you permission to do. You just said, this is what's in me, and this is what I'm going to do next. And I would imagine some of your agents were a little bit surprised at your musical detour, possibly.
Yeah, I mean,
a little worried.
They definitely were like, well, that's it for you, love. If you're right. Going to move to Hawaii, just like make music, goodbye.
Goodbye.
No one will remember you when you come back. And largely, they were sort of right, but I think they'd underestimated how much women are used to having to insist on their space at the table. Even if you've left the table briefly for whatever your reasons are, mental health, your soul, have a child. The fact that we can't come back and go, yeah, I'm going to sit back down now.
Which is interesting. You talk about roles. I mean, until I moved to Hollywood, until I knew artists like you, I didn't realize that acting was just another facet of their artistry. That everyone who's an actor is also an artist.
Yeah.
And so there's so much more to them that, you know, Hollywood doesn't have a use for. Just do that acting thing. Look more beautiful. Keep acting. These people, these large souls getting put into small roles.
Yeah, or if you fall into the trap of the implied insistence on youth and beauty, and that if you don't subscribe to that and end up looking this weird, homogenized way that a lot of women look now from having bowed to that pressure, it doesn't work then either, because then, in a way, you're then punished for having given in.
You've made yourself replaceable.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I feel like a lot of people have felt that way about women aging anyway. But I don't see women doing that. I see people writing op-eds about women doing that, but no one I know does that. No woman I know over the age of 50 is invisible. They are the vibrant, most powerful versions of themselves.
I know, I don't understand that. It's almost like fear-mongering. I'll always look up from an article. I'll be like, I don't feel invisible.
I shout more at the articles that I read about, you know, women and aging and what it means and aren't you worried about this? No, you're worried about it. You're just getting the clickbait. And I suppose I did click on it to read it.
Well, you always want to know, what are they saying? There is a sense of, are people talking about this? But I mean, I watched my grandmother remarry twice after the age of 70. So I watched her date.
I love that. Did she have a great time doing it?
She did. And there was one that she became like a teenager, aww, giggly at the table. We're like, what's up with Winky? Look at her. She's like, you know, like this laugh, this personality comes out of your grandmother that you've never seen before. So I think I had a good role model in the sense that it ain't over till it's over. And it's such a brief life anyway.
I know.
You know, why on earth are you limiting yourself in these 70 to 100 years in any way, shape or form?
Yeah, because you see it reflected back in the media and it's only like that if you say it is. Like the more I've thought about it, the more I genuinely believe there is only the meaning that we assign in this world. And it's what lives in the same space for me is you get what you say. You get what you say you're worth. I think you have to tell the story that you want to live. You really do, like actively.
I have a great metaphor for this. At one point in 2003, 2004, there was a lot of money being poured into promoting me. So I was everywhere. I was like under Capitol Records and I was very visible. And so everywhere I went, there's this tension of if people recognized you. But I realized something at my own shows, that if I needed to leave the venue or go meet someone, and there's a line of people outside my show waiting to see me, if I walk like it's no big deal, like I'm just super casually walking back, nobody recognizes me. I can walk past my own line, casually strolling. But if I have like people around me, they're like, okay, we got to get her out of here. Everybody notices. So I'm literally creating my own reality by how I'm carrying myself and how I see that situation. And it stuck with me. How you carry yourself to a large degree does shape how you experience it and what that means to you later on and how that sticks with you.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. 100%.
So if you want to be invisible as a woman, you can carry yourself invisibly or you can carry yourself loudly.
Yes, one of the things that bothers me most about the way in which middle-aged women, they speak about this invisibility. I bought into it. I was like, oh, yeah, that does happen, doesn't it? And I was like, no, it doesn't. I remember calling my mother really sad one, like genuinely profoundly depressed and going, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And she was like, oh, put on some lipstick. Be seen. Put your face on.
I love her.
Act like it isn't what you are saying it is. Act like that and see what happens. I remember being so annoyed with her. Put on fucking red lipstick to act like I'm happy when I'm sad. It was completely right, though.
When they say invisible, what they're really just saying is men are not going to try to run you down and conquer
that,
you for
that,
sex.
That is exactly right.
But I don't want to be run down and conquered for sex anymore. So
I've had enough of that. I'm sick of it.
Yeah,
I tell you what, man, I've been run down, I've been run over. I'm knackered. I can't do it anymore. Frankly,
I'm relieved.
You're right. It is to do with a woman's worth being enforced and tethered to this idea of desirability.
For sex, specifically.
Like, whatever, man. Like, if that's really what it comes down to, just, like, where you want to go and have sex, allow me to be invisible. Let me maintain my invisibility and I'll get on and do all the really interesting shit that doesn't involve, you know, 10 minutes of sex with you. Like, whatever.
Oh my God, thank you for putting such a fine point on that. You know, like,
and now we can move on.
10 minutes with you.
Literally, I'll take my invisibility over a swift 10 with you, love.
The articles never explain that part of it, do they?
They never do.
We never go all the way to the end of the article.
Why is it we want to be seen by a swift 10 minutes?
Right?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Exactly.
I'd rather go and Google Sally Rooney and see what she's writing next. Thank you. Fuck off.
Oh, God.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you?
Okay.
Tell me.
I never knew this. In my 20s and 30s, how I felt in relationships was of paramount importance. And it wasn't until I became a mother, and frankly, it took 15 years past that, to really understand that if you love a person, you want the best for them. You want them to find their journey. You want them to realize their potential. And that's the kind of love that I think is the highest love. It's the best love. It's the most rewarding love. It's really hard to find, and it's really hard to give, but to love somebody and to love yourself, wanting the best for you and wanting you to fulfill your highest potential. That's real love. That's the kind of love that if you break up and it's not right between you, you can still look at the person and say, I admire this person. There was a point at which a relationship was something that fulfilled me, that I got something out of. And then I morphed into someone that wants the best for the other person and only wants to date someone that I would feel that way about.
So distill it to what defines love for you?
A lack of selfishness, a keen interest and admiration and feeling for a real connection that you can't put into words, but that doesn't just consume that. Doesn't just say, oh, great, when can we be together? What can we do? Like, but that listens to what they want to do. What are you trying to do with your life? What are your dreams? And then supporting that. I guess it's about only dating people that you really already respect and admire as people, individuals. Not meshing, not going to that full mesh that I did in my 20s. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, full meshes for the birds.
Well, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, it was
fun. Those are the epic stories and the fights in the street and the like Romeo and Juliet and the stakes are so high.
No, I'm too tired.
No, I'm not into that. I'm too tired.
I'm too tired for that, but I also don't want I don't want 10 minute sex, but I also don't want that. I don't want the screaming in the streets.
You to actualize. I want you to have what you want in life, and I want to be there for the ride.
But it's about respect, right? Respect and recognition. And you're right about liking who they are, and that you support that despite the compromise that it might be to your own life, because you love them, because that's actually what love is, I think. That's interesting.
You want the best for them.
Have you got that?
No. And I remember a boyfriend telling me that that's what it was, and I wanted to punch him. I really did. I was like, take your Hallmark card and hit the road. But he was right.
I hate it when someone tells you something that's right and then you know they were right, and then you have to carry that around
10 years
forever.
Later. Yeah.
But it is.
I don't want the relationship back, but I took the advice.
Then you profited from it.
No, do I have that now? No, I do not. It's very hard to find, but I also don't trifle with possibles. If I don't feel deep compulsion that this person is connecting with me, I think of it as chakras. If they're not lighting up 5 of those chakras at once, I'm not going to bother.
Oh my God, that's so great. It's like a traffic light system. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, unless all 3 lights are going, we don't have anything happening.
Yeah.
That makes it very practical. You have an internal traffic
light. And if you're friends, that can always change, because you know you'll fall in love. If it's not 10 minutes, if it's half an hour, say, and it's satisfying.
Listen, I'm giving 10 minutes. I'm giving 10 minutes a bad rap. There's a good version of 10 minutes. It's just the people that are calling women invisible after the age of 50, they are not the people having good 10-minute sex, okay? That's
right.
That's the fucking deal right there.
Right.
Put that needlepoint on a pillow.
Oh my God, this is it.
But I'll take a good 10 minutes.
This is all the truth you need.
I'll take a good 10 minutes with my boyfriend any day of the week. God damn.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's also probably a 45-minuter, a 10-minuter, a 5-minuter, and any sort of thing.
He's all the minutes.
He's
all the minutes I need. I think we should write a song called He's All the Minutes I Need.
And we can even have parts of it where, like, 15 minutes now, you know, and then it's like 20 minutes now, and we've reached the stars.
Hi, my name's 20 Minutes, and I'm your midpoint in your day. Hi, my name's 2 Minutes. I'm a knee trembler in the kitchen.
I'm your lunch break. It's Friday, 3 times.
Sunday afternoon.
All the minutes.
All the minutes are accounted
for. He's all the minutes in the hour. He's all the minutes I need.
Oh my God, you're my 2 minutes on a Tuesday. By the way, I'm definitely writing this song. I'm going to send it to you. All right, Angel. In your life, can you tell me about something that has grown out of a personal disaster?
The knee-jerk reaction is everything's grown out of personal disaster.
I like that.
Correct way to say it is, I see personal disaster as opportunities. Not at the moment, but I always keep that in the back of my mind. So if you consider the fact that I was adopted, I came right out of a personal disaster into a pretty good situation. And, you know, though I wanted to be a visual artist, the personal disaster of me sort of having my, I'm not going to school anymore. I hate everything. I hate everyone. That personal disaster wrote Guyville. And so then the personal disaster of, oh God, now it's my job to perform on stage. That personal disaster. Or when I was having trouble with my record company. Well, I have a college degree. I could write a book, you know? So everything comes out of a dead end for me. Everything that I've done that has really impressed me about myself has come out of a dead end where something isn't working out. And that may just be that I value those experiences more because I overcame something, but personal disaster for me equates with growth. So anytime I break something or someone breaks me, even in the depths of it, and trust me, I'm going to go hide in a cave for about 6 months. It's just been my experience on life. Like, that is what happens. Necessity is the mother of invention. That is the truism, but it's true. And it's extremely useful in my life, because otherwise there's no rhyme or reason to what I've done in my life. Young people should remember that.
Exactly. It's just like, wait a minute, just let it breathe. When it's really bad, give it a second.
What person, place, or experience most altered your life?
I'm so happy we have arrived at this question. Music. Music industry, music business, music fans, playing music, performing music. You know, I got into this business to be a recording artist and never thought that I would have to perform said music. And it has been something that I have had to learn how to do, had to learn how to love, had to get better at. And it has changed me so profoundly that it's hard to even explain. But sometime around 2005, I was a new mom. I had a six-year-old and I was teaching him about singing. And I realized that opening my heart to be a better singer was not about technique for me. It was about not strangling my voice, not feeling that shyness. It's always for me about letting you see me, letting myself be vulnerable in front of people. And the fact that given a choice, I would never do that, and that because of my job, it's been the work of my life, has made me such a better person in so many ways. It never lets me totally put roots down, because I'm always being asked, can you give more? Can you give something new of yourself? Can you open up again? And that has shaped me in ways that I'm deeply grateful for.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have.
I would have been like, I would have been a know-it-all. I would have sat back and been like, I don't do that. But now I can never say I don't do that. I don't know. Maybe I do that. I don't know. Because the thing that I would least like to do became my job.
Mm. What did you think you were going to do?
Sit back and make records, make art, make visual art, maybe write. Mm. Anything behind the scenes, nothing in front of the camera.
Who made you go in front of the camera?
People, fans.
When you made a record, you must have known that you were going to have to go out and tour that and promote it and get on stage and sing.
No.
No?
I was 26. I had fully prepared and trained to be a visual artist. Mm. I had my whole life set out. I knew I'd have a studio. I fantasized about being like on the East Coast, you know, and having the life of the house and then my studio next to it.
Mm.
That would be my fantasy.
Wow. Wow. But you did it anyway.
I did it anyway.
I mean, not just anyway.
I did it and did it and did it. And like I said, the biggest gift was the thing that I wanted to avoid. And that lesson never left me. Now I always know if something comes up and I'm like, you know,
should probably do it.
Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but like I could, I could try.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Like I could. My mother was like that till the very end. She was 84 and probably a month before she died, she didn't know she was going to die. She'd started a new business because she was
I love it.
Because I want to, and there's like a gap, and because I can, and I'm doing it, and she did it. And that whole notion of, you see something that you can't do, you go, but I could. I don't feel like doing that. Yeah, but I could. I could do that. I love that there is only the limit that you put upon yourself, that you say. There is only an invisible cloak that you put on yourself. There is only the sort of stifling of your thoughts.
They're fragile. Yeah. You know, they can be shattered. I love that chapter about, may I talk about your memoir at all?
That
chapter about your mom passing. There was brutal parts about it, but the eloquence with which you described the love you have for her and how she was determined, the Duchess. I mean, like, it's just,
so
that
Mama.
Was such a satisfying and beautiful chapter to explain a daughter's love. And it was complicated and it was filled with so much stuff, and there were things you wouldn't even try to put into words, you know, the way you would sit by her and how quickly you were rousable from your sleep, the way you had been when your son was so young. Like, that just meant a lot to me as my parents are getting older. And just
thank you.
It meant a lot to me, and I think that you have a very powerful way of opening up private experiences to a very broad encompassing lens.
That's so lovely.
It's real.
Thank you, Dar. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's just an exploration, as you know. It's just like, go on a journey.
That's a hard relationship to define, and you did it so beautifully without defining it.
Thank you.
She sounds like she was a very formative lodestar.
She was always slightly out of reach. Like, I could never quite get her. And then obviously death has been the ultimate, oh my God, she got away. Like, I never quite, but that's, that.
You wrote a song about it too, right?
And what she inspired, because there was no, the idea of her being an arrival point, that has been like rocket fuel in my life to keep exploring and to it's not about not being satisfied, but staying curious about how do we keep feeling in this world that's so hard? How do you keep having fragile feelings and experiences? She taught me how to do that because it's what she did. And she went out chasing whatever came next in a way.
Always.
Yeah, love.
I respect that so much.
Too.
I mean, starting a business while you're on your deathbed, that's something I'd like to
do. Yeah, totally. Whilst also watching the football and telling us all what we needed to do. Yeah, no. She was immense. Amazing.
She was immense.
Yeah.
That's what you gave word to. Our mothers are immense.
Yeah.
They are immense. And that's what you capture. Yeah.
Thank you, Lovey. Thank you so much.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
All right, I better ask you the next question, otherwise we'll...
Okay, next question.
All day. What is the quality you like least about yourself?
I thought about this for a long time. There's a lot of qualities I don't like about myself. But the most, I think, troublesome to the way I want to come across is impatience. I am impatient. It's very hard for me to slow it down and let things unfold if I think I know where they're going. And I miss a lot. I miss people by doing that. I miss letting them unfold. So I like that least about myself.
Do you take steps to, I don't know if self-correct is the right word, because that all sounds a bit like you need a riding crop. What do you...
I do. I could use it.
I need to whip myself.
Listening. I practice listening. As we were talking about before with my career, trying to always step where no one has given me permission to step, that can create in you a kind of a, not pushiness, but like a, I hear no, but I'm seeing, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like, let's try this. So letting things happen to me, letting myself go through things without speeding it up or escaping it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think a lot of it is wrapped up with like, again, having to be the herald of your own work. Like also you weren't in a band. Like, it was you. Like, that's how you presented yourself, and you're writing all the songs. So there had to be probably quite a lot of people that needed to be tuned out who were telling you what to do. It's interesting, though, how a really useful tool then becomes something that, as we evolve, it's like, oh, that thing that served me so well then, perhaps that part of me has to evolve so that now it actually does listen, now that it's not a survival technique, not listening.
That's it. You've just encapsulated perfectly growing up, because whatever characteristics you had in childhood, they were adapted. Mm. You're doing the best in the environment that you had, and this is how you made it through whatever you were going through. And if you're lucky enough to get control of your life to some extent, you can look at those things. And for so much of my life, I just kept going. It worked before, just keep going. And it wasn't until my 40s, I think, that I stopped and said, yeah, but the same problems keep popping up. Like, the same failures keep happening. And so I had to kind of pull apart, as we do, our psychology and look at it and think about, what if I, you know, changed my mind? And I approach everything that way now. I'm going to change myself before I'm going to change anyone else.
That's so good. I got to try and do that more.
It's hard. I don't succeed all the time, believe me. It's just what I try to do.
It is interesting, though, when one realizes, you know, we've all had to learn how to actually be kinder to ourselves. As my friend Emma said one day, yeah, but are you being too kind to yourself? Like, do you not need to be a little bit tougher with yourself? And I was like, you should. And she's absolutely correct. So I now think about being the common denominator in all my shit. And even though I used to beat myself with that, then I kind of forgave myself completely and let myself off the hook. And the weird thing is that there's this whole part that just never evolved, because it was like, look, either you have never found the middle way of going, it's okay for this fallibility and this shit, like, but just let it remind you in a more robust way, as opposed to, I'm either going to pretend it's not there and like love myself and it's not about me, it's about them, or beat myself like that there's somewhere in the middle. I think that's actually what middle age is that you find the fucking middle path. Everyone's so busy talking about your wrinkles, they don't realize that it's actually quite sweet.
Oh, God.
Not living in quite such a polarized way with yourself.
The extremes.
Yeah.
It's easy to shift into the extreme. Like, go, go, go that way. Go, go, go this way.
That was my 20s and 30s right there. Go, go, go that way. That's it. That's my next book. It's just going to be that. It's going to say that. Liz Phair wrote my next book. That's what it'll be called. By Minnie Driver and Liz Phair.
I love you, Minnie. Thank you so much for this. And thank you for your memoir.
Thank you, Angel. It was very personally meaningful to me.
Thank
you so, so much, Angel. Really, really, really. And also really hope to see you back in California.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
All right, Angel. All right. Take care
of yourself. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye, love. Bye.
Mini Questions is hosted and written by me, Minnie Driver. Executive produced by me and Aaron Kaufman, with production support from Jennifer Bassett, Zoe Denkler, and Ali Perry. The theme music is also by me, and additional music by Aaron Kaufman. Special thanks to Jim Nicolay, Addison O'Day, Henry Driver, Lisa Castella, Anique Oppenheim, Anique Muller, and Annette Wolfe at WKPR, Will Pearson, Nikki Etor, Morgan Lavoie, and Mangesh Hatikador.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.